Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, Montgomery bans symbols. Also, journalism and the death of a mayor. And here comes the church lady, and she wants you to have a porn ID.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Those silly kids. The church lady's coming for you. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi. So, you know, we've got a couple of tough subjects here, but this one right here is the toughest that we have. The mayor of Smith Station, F.L. Bubba Copeland, committed suicide last week after an article or a series of articles came out in 1819 News, a far right-wing site that was originally set up by the Alabama Policy Institute. The site, for some unknown reason, decided to out the fact that in the privacy of his own home, he was a cross-dresser who had an online persona. But they didn't link this to any criminal activity, anything that he had done wrong in his office or as the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Phoenix City, Josh.
Yeah.
But they went after him hard. Also, Yellowhammer News and Rick and Bubba and various other talk radio right-wingers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they did. They went after him extremely hard. And, you know, there was a, I think there was a way to have done this, that was newsworthy. And I'm not talking about reporting on his lifestyle or whatever his choices were, but there were things that did occur that would have been, I think, newsworthy for his constituency within Smith Station, that they could have drawn upon to write these stories. But instead, they took this tactic of almost moral superiority, self-righteousness kind of a thing, and trying to shame him for what he had done. And I think in that small town environment and in that setting, the way they went about it and just the weight of it over and over and over and so many people pressing on him, you know, it was just too much.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I mean, he took his own life, but and that makes a good point. The media at its best, it holds the powerful accountable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it also holds them to their public oath and reports on wrongdoing. That's the job. But to your point, when we become moral adjudicators, decide what's morally right, that's when we go astray, Susan.
Well, I mean, I just think it was very unethical in the way they approached it. Simply because this has nothing to do with his role as mayor. And the people of his congregation, I read the stories on Facebook about Bubba Copeland and the parishioners that were just heartbroken that he was gone now. They didn't care. Lots of them came and said, "We don't care anything about this. We loved him.
Yeah.
And you know, he helped me through these hard times." And, you know, it's just such a tragedy. They just, you know, they were reckless in doing this, in my opinion. And it's cost a man his life. It's cost a children their father, cost a wife her husband, a mother her son, and a community a very beloved man.
He was very well thought of in the community, and a lot of people did say we didn't care that he dressed in drag at his home or put it online.
Yeah, to your point though about the holding of accountable, there were things that I think legitimately could have been held, he could have been held accountable for. Within, you know, there were some postings of, you know, kids' faces and things on memes and so, you know, using the real name of a lady in town. And I think those are things that if the stories had been presented in that way, they could have moved, you know, that it's something that he should have been held accountable for, I think. And it's something that it would not have weighed on him, I don't think, maybe as much. I think people would have been more outraged about what was going on. But I just, the way that they went about it, I think that, and that's what so many people seem to be missing out of this, is that it's not that 1819 News had these things that were there and reportable. It's the way that they chose to attack it, this culture war kind of mentality that they went after him with, where the what was bad and what they were holding him accountable for was his, you know, cross-dressing, you know, his lifestyle choices or whatever. That to me is what makes it sort of icky and shameful.
And it wasn't just one article. There were multiple.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Multiple. They were literally between 1819, Yellowhammer, Rick and Bubba, and the other news outlets. They were hounding this man. Yeah. They hounded him to death, literally.
Well, that is my belief. I also think a point of real interest here is that 1819 News was started by the Alabama Policy Institute, a far right-wing think tank that is a nonprofit. They gave them, according to their tax filings, $1 million+ to start this website.
Yeah.
Just wash my mouth out. Can't do a thing with it. To start this website to do this kind of sensational reporting, to do right-wing, hard right-wing, and to influence the legislature.
Yeah.
This is what they want to do, which is totally inappropriate if you're a 501c3.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm, honestly, I'm really tired of this. And there are some liberal organizations that take advantage of it.
Of course there are.
All right. And I think there needs to be a crackdown on a lot of these things.
Yeah.
And I know everybody's going to scream and claim that the government's targeting us for being right wing, or the government's targeting us for being left wing, or whatever. But you're not supposed to be political. You're not supposed to be doing these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to say that the Alabama Policy Institute is a bipartisan organization is laughable.
Yeah.
All right. And you know, listen, there are other, I won't say, if they want to come back and say, well, you know, what about this guy on the left? Okay. I'm not saying that there should be an exception for the left. I want everybody to be, if you're bipartisan, be bipartisan. Yeah. Otherwise, pay your taxes, man.
Exactly. Yeah. And now, the API ditched them.
Yes.
And because they got so much backlash from giving them $1 million that they found some other donors to give them another $1 million. And then 1819 just became its own 501c3. That, again, is not supposed to be a partisan outlet. That influences legislation. It's specifically in the law that they cannot legislate that. But the other thing, and I think you brought this up this week in the column, Josh, is this is what happens when you demonize people's lifestyle and gender. This is why children are in so much danger from this bashing of LGBTQ and transgender.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you look at what happened to this grown man.
Yeah.
You know,
and
think about that sort of pressure weighing on kids. You know, and that's what we're doing with this transgender stuff, where we're telling them that they're essentially wrong for existing.
Yeah.
And that's what has happened. You know, whether people want to admit it or not, or acknowledge what they're doing, that's what is happening here.
Yeah.
Is that they're telling them they're wrong for simply existing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about morally. You know, I know it's okay in the Old Testament to sell your daughter. That's okay. And we have to stone anybody to death who works on Sunday. But they don't follow that. What they do is they pick and choose what they want to do and what they want to make moral.
Right.
And the rest of it, they're just like, what do you mean?
Whatever is icky. Whatever makes them feel uncomfortable. Yeah.
If you're going to quote the Old Testament, then live by the Old Testament.
Well,
it's a tough life.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to have to hold it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Your home is your most valuable asset. But what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. by signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Well, now we're going to talk about some children, and we have a new church lady in Alabama. Her name is Susan DeBose. She's a representative out of Hoover.
Isn't that special?
She's a rep. And I'm telling you, Josh, if she is not Dana Carvey reincarnated as the church lady, I don't know who is. But Susan has decided, Mrs. DeBose has decided that she wants to have the government define what is a man and what is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
As if you can't tell. As is anybody, the government's business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the bigger point.
That's a bigger point. The other thing she wants to do is she wants to make sure that libraries only get money if they have the kind of books she wants in there. Mm. That's the other one.
Mm-hmm. Mein Kampf.
Yeah. And then she wants to now have porn ID. So that you have to have you have to give a website your government ID to be able to access porn.
Nothing could go wrong with
it. And there's absolutely, Josh, nothing that could go wrong with it.
Well, the porn sites are known for their safekeeping of identities and other safeguards. My problem here is this. She represents a good portion of Shelby County. All right. Shelby County just lost its only maternity ward. Yeah. It just happened. Now, the maternity ward was technically not in her district, but I imagine she represents a number of people who have used that maternity ward. And so it would seem as if, I know this is crazy talk, it would seem as if maybe there are bigger issues out there for her to do this, to focus on in her professional life, for her to go out and talk to the people in Shelby County. And I know if she went out and actually talked to real people all around that county, this would not be the crap that they talked about.
You mean the coalition repressed anything progressive.
Yes.
I got you. But Susan, one of my things, let me just throw this in here and then I'll shut up. But one of the things I really am concerned about is how much control do we want to give government over our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, look, you go into a bar, you got to show an ID, right? Or you go into, but you don't give them your ID to keep,
right?
You know?
First of all, if she'd have visited the library and read some of these books that they want to ban, obviously she would know the difference between a woman and a man. But I guess she didn't visit the library. But the second thing is, what, the bar's going to like take a photocopy of your ID and you're going to leave that information with a total stranger?
Yeah.
No, you're going to put this online. So let's say a kid goes and gets his mom's or his dad's driver's license, scans it in, puts it on, opens his data, unknowing to his dad, opens him up to all possibilities of identity theft.
You are not going to keep a 15-year-old boy who wants to get porn from getting it. Listen, I'm not for kids having porn.
No.
I mean, when we found a Playboy at my uncle's house, it circulated the neighborhood. I get that. But, you know.
You've got two ideas contradicting each other. They don't want to teach children about sex.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want them to see sex. So why not explain it to them or let them read the books where they understand what's going on and they won't be so dadgum curious.
I think that's a really good point. We have no we have no mandate in this state to teach sex education.
Right.
Our public schools, in many cases, it's been estimated more than half of our kids never receive any formal sex education in schools. And then we wonder why we have the highest rates of teen pregnancy and the highest rates of sexually transmitted diseases among teens. This is the reason why. Yep. This is what is going on in our schools here. Sorry. It's idiotic to expect that we're going to do these things here, ban this stuff in the middle, and nobody's ever going to pay attention to
right.
it. You're not going to be able to keep this from kids. It's a fantasy land that you're right. living in.
And the other thing that bothers me is that she is wanting the government to take the mm-hmm. role that has traditionally been that of the parent.
Right, yeah.
You know, the parent is supposed to monitor what books children read.
Yeah.
The parent is supposed to monitor what internet that you can see.
Yeah.
It is not the government. I mean, I hate it when people claim to be Republicans mm-hmm. and they want big government to take over what should be their job.
Right.
The person's job.
Yeah. I'm all for parental controls and things like that. Give parents the opportunity to do that. But you're right. You're never going to be able to keep these kids out of these websites. And you're not. Why are we? What is happening at libraries? Are y'all just dropping your kids off? I don't understand. Are they just rolling up on a Saturday and kicking them out of the car door and leaving? Is that a possibility? Could I do that to the kids? I don't understand.
I don't think so. I don't think you could do that.
I don't think the library will let you do that.
They got to be accompanied by a parent to even check out a book.
And listen, as far as defining what is a man and a woman, one way you could define a woman is that she'll be the one having birth on the side of the road in Shelby County. You know, because there's no maternity ward anywhere nearby. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is what she's focused on when there are real problems and real solutions out there.
That's what I keep saying. They don't have policies.
Yeah.
They don't have plans. They don't have any ideas.
Yeah.
And so they keep going to this.
Yeah.
These are their go-tos. You know, the libraries, sex education, pornography, LGBTQ. It's just fodder.
She's obviously a very ignorant individual when it comes to life in general and how things work. And she somehow got 12,000 people in a district of 40,000 people voted for her.
Yeah.
And so she's got the job.
Which I think defines the bigger problem.
Yeah.
You know, we've done certain things to discourage voting in this state. One of them being the severe gerrymandering that we have. And, you know, this is how people like her and some others. And if you want to talk about, you want to give me an example on the left? Okay. I'm not for gerrymandering for one side or the other.
I'd like
to not have gerrymandering.
I want to have competent Republicans.
Yeah, I want people to be engaged.
Democrat.
Yeah.
We need both parties.
Yeah, and they can work across the aisle and not go into opposite corners and throw spitballs at each other.
I don't need the church lady to tell me that if I've got children, I should be watching them, not the government.
And the way to not have that is to have competent candidates that fight out and have a real district where each one has a chance and voters will hold them to that standard.
Well, I was hoping to talk about how Montgomery, the city council, voted this week to just do away with all symbols. We're not having any LGBTQ symbols. We're not having any church symbols.
No.
We're not having Christmas.
No.
The Easter Bunny's out of here, baby. No. I mean, Josh, real quickly, tell us how that happened.
They apparently had a problem with flying the Christian flag at some point, and finally the council said, "Oh, we're just going to ban everything. We're not going to have it." So they're not going to have any Christmas decorations. They're not. I'm not sure about the parade that they're going to be able, if they're going to have that or not. They're going to stop supporting charity, so no more lighting up the city hall with pink lights for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Everything's gone. And so I guess that's one way to do it.
But. Well, I mean, the mayor was totally dead set against it. Mayor Reed was dead set against it, but the council pushed it through. So if you're going to Montgomery for Christmas, don't.
You're not going to find any decorations.
It'll be ho-ho somewhere else. All right. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. and we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, this House District 2 race is backed up like a mule cart. Just joking here. No, it really is like a 10-car pileup on I-65, isn't it?
It is. It is very much so.
I wanted to get the mule cart in there, but I couldn't do it. Yeah. It just wouldn't come out. But I mean, seriously, we got on the Republican side, we got three candidates. Mm-hmm. That's all. Dick Brubaker, former state senator. Greg Allbritton, current state senator, and Caroline
Dobson.
Dobson, yes, mm-hmm. Caroline Dobson.
Obviously making an impact with you.
I cannot get that name in my head,
really,
Caroline.
Really sticking with you.
You know, I need to remember it's like rhymes with
kerosene.
Kerosene. Yeah. I'll remember it now.
Yeah. By all accounts, a very fine lady.
Now, I heard she's got a great educational background.
Harvard, she's great.
She's very very rich. Mm-hmm. That doesn't hurt. I'd like to do that. I think that's good. And listen, she quit her job so she could run for office. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's admirable. She's left a big law firm and she's running for office. I think the race is going to come down to Dick Brubaker and Greg Allbritton, they already had a name idea, right, mm-hmm. Josh, in the district.
Yeah, and ultimately it will not matter. None of these three people are going to win. No. It's just the facts of the district at this point. All of them have got some problematic issues. I mean, I think I like Dick Brubaker, known him for a long time. Yeah. I felt like he was, at least for a long time, he was a very sane Republican.
Yeah.
I don't know, I've seen some postings of his lately that would lead me to believe he's got Fox News brain rot at some point, but I still like Dick. I think you can have a conversation with him and work things out. Same with Greg Allbritton. I've had great conversations with Greg Allbritton. Yeah. I think he and I agree on one big issue, which is gaming.
Yeah.
And so I've never met Caroline Dobson. I've heard from people who do know her that she's really nice and a really professional woman.
Sure.
So I wish them well. I just think that on the Republican side in this race, at this time, they don't stand a chance.
No, and Susan, what and Josh said about Dick Brubaker, I know you and I feel the same way, mm-hmm. but one of the things that Dick has been doing is getting out there and going wide to the right, mm-hmm. which you would normally do in a Republican primary. If you were in a Republican district, this is really not a Republican district.
No, it's not a Republican district. And so going hard right might get you through the primary, but I don't think you're going to have any luck in the general with this district.
Yeah. I mean, Allbritton's talking more about economic development, mm-hmm. growth, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now, he does not live in the district.
Right, but, Well, he has for a long time, Allbritton did. And then he had to move because they just redrew the districts his state Senate seat. So he picked up and moved his house. And he kept the old house that's in Conecuh County, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
And so he's just going to move back to that if he were to win.
All right. But that's really what we got going there. Mm-hmm. That's it. On the Democratic side, I don't know that we've got all the candidates because
if some of them are still in or not.
Jeremy Gray, we know he's in. We know Anthony Daniels is in. Mm-hmm. Vivian Figures' son, Samara Figures, mm-hmm. is in. And we hear Hatcher. Kirk Hatcher in, out?
I think we're 50-50 at this point. We may have more news on that later. But it's just, Anthony Daniels is in. And I think that he is the front runner for this seat. Mm-hmm. Said on our podcast that we do, we had Anthony on and he told us on there that he was running. I identify with Anthony more than I identify with probably any other political candidate that I've ever encountered. He and I, and this is, it's unique to me. I'm not endorsing Anthony Daniels. I mean, from social issues and the way he handles himself with that to business issues and growing the economy and being business friendly and also being pro-military and things. He and I just agree on pretty much everything. And so, you know, I like him as a candidate. And I think what he has been able to do over the course of his career in this state and the fundraising and the contacts he has and the business council folks that are behind him, I think he is going to be a very formidable candidate.
Business leaders love Anthony Daniels. They like Jeremy Gray. They like, and I'm sure Vivian Figure's son, if she's Vivian Figure's, he's top class.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Napoleon Bracey is a very popular
Very popular.
And these people that you're talking about actually have policies. They have plans.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing I love about each one of these that I know. I mean, I don't know Kurt Hatcher, but, you know, I do know Vivian Figure's very well. I know Anthony Daniels very well. I know Napoleon Bracey very well. And they're all people with plans. And that's what we
need. You would not be embarrassed to have any of them go to D.C.
No. Yeah. And I want to say about Kirk Hatcher real quick, you know, whether he's in or out or what have you. Kirk is a very good person.
Yeah.
And I think that's first and foremost what people should take from him. He hasn't been around a whole long time, so he doesn't have a great body of work. But, you know, I think with the Reeds back him, that he would have been a very formidable candidate if he stays in the race. You know, I think he would be a very formidable candidate.
Well, again, I'm not saying Anthony Daniels, because I personally just assume Anthony Daniels stay right here in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And all of these people have done great service to the state of Alabama. Mm-hmm. They are not wild-eyed liberals like you might find on one of the coast.
No,
these are sensible, reasonable people who are trying to do a job for a state. There's not a corrupt bone in any of their bodies that I know of.
And we've known them for years.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've followed them for years.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, this district too, the way it's comprised, where it's 48%, you know, black voting population, is probably going to produce a candidate that is very acceptable to the majority of the people in the district. I mean, I know race and things like that are going to play with some people, but I'm talking about normal, you know, sensible people. You know, I think this is going to produce a really good candidate for them.
And I don't think it, and again, I will take that to the Republicans. I do not know Ms. Dobbs, but I do know that Dick Brubaker and Greg Allbritton.
Dobson.
Caroline Dobson.
Yes, this is the greatest ad for Caroline Dobson that she could have paid for.
I wouldn't.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, we would not be embarrassed by any of those people going to Congress. It would be like Barry Moore, who embarrasses you every day.
And Tommy Tuberville.
And Tommy Tuberville, who
especially Tommy Tuberville.
I mean, Rolling Stone magazine said he was the most ignorant person in Congress.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to be class act ignorant to beat Ted Cruz.
Yeah, and Marsha Blackburn. I mean, my God, it's, you know, I think though the goal for everybody should be to achieve like a Katie Britt type candidate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even, and I'm talking about people who are not going to agree with the politics necessarily of these people, but you have somebody who is reasonable, who is going to go to work every day, who's going to do things that on a bipartisan level to help the state, to help the country, and to move things forward.
We need competent government, not this divided stuff that we
see, the
culture wars, all the craziness. Yeah. But anyway, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.
Bye, Caroline.